If you have your Bible, 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15. And we're always looking for more junior church workers, more people that want to teach Sunday school. I'm telling you, it'll bless you. It will bless you. Now, I can't promise you that sometimes you put the work in and then maybe one kid shows up. You know, that may happen. But I'm telling you, you stick with it and God will bless you. You stick with anything for God and you will see great blessings out of it. But 2 Samuel 15, we're going to start in verse 1. But before I read it, I'm going to give you a little introduction on the character in this passage. His name is Absalom and he is the son of King David. And he comes into the scene two chapters before this in 2 Samuel 13. And what happens is his half-brother tricked Absalom's full-blooded sister into sleeping with him. It's a bad story. This happens. An awful thing happens in David's family. So when Absalom finds out, it says that he hated his brother Amnon because of what he did. But he doesn't say anything. The Bible says he doesn't say anything good or bad to him. So basically he keeps that hatred a secret. And he wells it up in his heart. And it says 2 years pass after that. And Absalom decides he's going to hold a feast. And he invites all the king's sons. So all of his brothers he invites to this feast. And what he says is, as soon as my brother Amnon gets drunk, I want you to kill him. And that's what happens. So as soon as this happens, he flees to another country. And then 3 years later, he comes back to Jerusalem. David allows him to come back. And then 2 years after that, finally, David lets him come before him in the palace. So 5 years after this is where we're at today, here in 2 Samuel 15. So let's look at it. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after this," what I just explained, "that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee.' Absalom said, 'Moreover, oh, that I were made a judge in the land, and that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice.' And it was so that when any man came nigh unto him, obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I ask that you would use me. Lord, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit and the unction. Lord, help me to preach. But Lord, help us to hear what you have for us today. Lord, we need you today. In this world, we need the truth. Lord, if any are lost, any are backslidden, Lord, I pray they find victory today. Any that are going the wrong way, Lord, I ask that they would come back today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Absalom is 27 years old. I told you he had murdered his brother 5 years before. He's just been reinstated his privileges basically before the king. And we see that he starts to begin to rebel against his father, King David. So basically Absalom, his father's the king, King David, the rightful king. Oh, but he wants that power. He wants the throne. He wants the authority and everything that rightfully belongs to David. So there is a rebellion that starts to begin in King David's household that we see right here. And I am here to tell you that in this world, there is a rebellion against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. There is an active rebellion today because there is one that wants that throne that rightfully belongs to Jesus Christ. And that's the devil. He is fighting and clawing. And not only is he in rebellion, but he has got many to follow him that will rebel against God. How many of you ran into that are rebelling against God? And you're saying, well, how are they doing that? They're making themselves king instead of the rightful king. We've talked about that before. But there is a great rebellion today. And you know this world likes rebellion. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They like it. What do they say? If the government does something you don't like, you go out there and you tear something up. You protest. You rip things down. You burn it up. That's rebellion today. And that's what they're saying. We don't want to submit to any authority. We want to be our own boss. That's what they're saying. And you know what? The problem is, as a Christian, you and I, we have an authority. And that's God.
Amen.
He is the authority. He's the supreme authority over everything. He always has been, and He always will be.
Amen.
Nobody's taking the throne from Jesus Christ. I told you before, you want to try to take the throne from Him, you find your out a way to get to heaven yourself, and you knock Him off the throne. And I say good luck, because as far as they got was the Tower of Babel, and I don't think it was very far. But we've got rebellion today. And you know the Bible talks about it in different places. Listen to this. Luke 6:46. It says, "And why," Jesus said this, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He asked a question. A very good one. You know, rebellion is when we decide we're going to reject God's word. Reject what God tells us to do and do our old thing. Reject where the Holy Spirit leads you. Let me ask parents a question real quick. Because mine's not old enough to do this, but I'm sure one day. Have you ever had a child rebel against you? Have you? How did it feel? How did it feel when that happened? What'd you have to do? You had to correct him, didn't you? Bring him back in line, right? What do you think God does when we get out of line? It doesn't please Him. He doesn't like that. He's saying, I want what's best for you. I put these rules in place for a reason. I have given you these instructions because I love you. I died for you. I love you. I want to keep you from harm and keep you out of the snares of the devil. And then when we decide we're going to rebel against God, you know what He does? He does the same thing an earthly father that's godly would do. He chastises you. Are you tired of getting a whooping? Maybe you need to get back where God wants and quit rebelling.
Amen.
That was free. You know, there is no room for a Christian person to rebel against God. No place for it whatsoever. Listen to this. Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy and He fought against them. I don't like that. The children of Israel went against God and rebelled against Him. And it said it vexed or it grieved the Holy Spirit. You know what God decided to do? He said, I'll fight against them. I'll fight against them. I'll go against them if they want to go against me. I don't want to do that to God. One more passage, Romans 13:1-2. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever... that's anybody. Resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people doing that today.
Yeah.
If you're rebelling against God today, there's only one ending place for that rebellion, and that is hell.
Amen.
For eternity. That's
Amen.
It. That's where the devil's going, and you'll be right next to him.
Amen.
If you go there. As a Christian, we don't choose our own standards. We don't choose our own way of life. We don't choose our own rules. It comes from above. And you know who's next in line? God's established the church.
Come on.
And He has given delegated authority to the pastor.
Even more, Lord.
And then that's us.
Amen.
That's the hierarchy that He's put. I'm telling you, I don't want to be chastised over and over again. I want to answer to the authority. But let me ask you this question. Let's think about this. Where did the rebellion begin? You know, we see the rebellion in this passage, but let's look at where it really began. Because it didn't actually begin in the Garden of Eden. We have to go earlier than that. Isaiah 14:12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which didst weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," this is what the devil says in his heart, "I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Then verse 15, the reality check comes in. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I am telling you what, the first rebellion happened in heaven before we were even around, before mankind was created. See, Satan was an anointed. He was a powerful angel in heaven. He was worshiping God just as he was created to do. But one day he became unsatisfied. He said that the job God's given me, it's not good enough. You know what? I'm going to rebel against God. Why? Because he's got something I want. I deserve the throne. I deserve the praise. I deserve the authority that belongs to God. You realize how he got there? I believe we can figure it out because it's replayed over and over again. You know how rebellion starts? It starts with unthankfulness.
Yeah.
You stop being thankful for what God's done to you. And you know what? God calls it a sin, whether we like it or not. See, then from unthankfulness, we quit being thankful for things. Then we get unsatisfied after that, right? If we're not thankful for what God's given us, then all of a sudden we say, you know what? What I have today is not enough. My family's not enough. The situation's not enough. This church isn't enough. The pastor's not good enough. The Bible's not good enough. The job that I have's not good enough. Over and over again, we come unsatisfied. And then what happens after that? We start to covet other things.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to have something else to get satisfaction. Man, I wish I had what they had. Man, I wish I had the blessing they had. And this, that, and the other. And then what happens after that? His pride starts to flow in. And you start mixing all that together. And you'll rebel against God.
Amen.
You'll rebel. That's what he did. That's what Satan did. And he drew a whole bunch of angels to his side. And they were all cast out of heaven. But since that day, Satan has been trying and trying to get you and I to rebel with him. You and I to leave God the same. So let's get back to our passage. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 1. So we're talking about Absalom today. And remember, when I gave you the introduction, I said he murdered. He had his brother murdered deceitfully. So we know he's a liar, a deceiver, and a murderer. He plotted his brother's death. But now he wants to be king. Think about that. He's a rotten man. Liar, deceitful. But he's thinking, I want the throne of David, my father. I want to be king. So he's got an image problem, doesn't he? No, who's gonna want a king who's lying and deceiving and murderous? Nobody wants a king like that, do they? So what's he do in verse 1? It says he prepares chariots, horses, and 50 men to run before him. You know what he starts to do? He starts to do what this world calls public relations or PR. He starts to do a little marketing thing. What would make me look better? What would help my image? Well, I know, instead of just being honest with the people and telling them who I really am, I'm going to get a bunch of chariots and horses and men to run in front of me. I will look like a king when I come into town.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to be king.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to look like a king. If I've got all these things, people are going to look at me and say, now wait a second, they'll watch all this big procession rolling through town and say, wait, I thought he was a bad man. Well, I don't know. Look at him. He looks like a king today, doesn't he? He looks great. Looks like God's blessing him and everything else. Do you realize the devil's been doing the same thing? The devil has been doing the exact same thing. He has transformed himself into an angel of life. He will not tell you he's a liar. He won't tell you he's a deceiver. In fact, he'll make himself look real nice for you.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He's been trying to change your mind. But he's still a liar. He's still a deceiver. So he has this PR campaign. You know, he's got all these things. But then after that, he does something else in verse 2. See, in those days, if you or I had a lawsuit, or we had a controversy, or we had a question, or we needed something from the king, we would go to the gate in the morning. We'd go to the gate of the city. The king would come out. He would hear the suit. He would hear the problem, the matter, whatever we had, the question, and he would make a judgment. He would tell us what we need to do. He would say, here's the winner, here's what's right. He would answer the questions. So what does Absalom do in verse 2? He goes out early in the morning, and he stands beside the gate, stood by the way of the gate. And you know what he's doing? He's intercepting. So if I'm coming to the king that day and I've got a matter or a question, or the Bible calls it a controversy, I'm going to go see King David. Well, along the way, just before I get to the gate, there's Absalom. How's it going? Well, he asked it a little differently. He said, what city are you from? Where are you from? And then they tell him, oh, I'm a children of God too. I'm a child of Israel too. I'm one of the tribes as well. And there he does. He has no authority to make any judgments. Remember that. God, King David never gave him any authority, but there he is intercepting people. And what he would do is he would listen, the Bible says. He'd listen to their controversy. But see what he says after that? He says, see in verse 3, thy matters are good and right. You know what he's doing right here? Oh, okay, so I've come, I've got a problem. I need to talk to the king. Absalom has stopped me. He's been real pleasant to me. I've told him my problem. I've told him my question. I've told him my controversy. And he says, oh, you're right. You're right. You're in the right. They're wrong.
Yeah.
You've got it. You got it right. That's what he's saying. He is telling them what they want to hear. I want you to get that. So what they're trying to get to the truth, and they're stopped midway before getting to King David, and then there's somebody telling them what they want to hear. And I don't know about you, when I've got a matter in life, when I've got something bothering me, when I have something important, and I'm trying to make a decision, usually I've got my mind a little bit made up already. I've got one thing I'd rather do than another thing. There's Absalom. He can sense that, and he says, oh no, yeah, you do that. Don't worry about it, you're okay. You realize the devil's been doing that since the Garden of Eden. That exact same thing. He has been intercepting you and I. He has been telling us what we want to hear. He has been lying to our face just to make us feel good and to do what we wanted to do anyway. Do you see what I am saying? Here is the devil has somebody lying in wait to intercept before the truth. I'm telling you what, a lot of times before you can get an answer out of here, because that takes work, it takes prayer, it takes study to get an answer out of here when you have a controversy. Oh, but you can do something much easier than that. You can get on your phone or your computer, type it into Google, and you can see the first thing that pops up. And I say, wow, that looks good. Because see, I wasn't sure. You know, maybe it's a girlfriend and a boyfriend, and they're getting real serious with each other, and they're wondering, well, should we move in together? That way we can share, you know, the bills and everything. It just makes sense. And I'm not sure if God's okay with that, but you know, it'd take too long to get it out of His Word. So I'm just going to type it in Google. You know what I found today when I typed that into Google? I didn't find what the Bible said. I found a theological person with a doctorate that had written a book. You know what they said? This stuff's outdated. It worked for back then, but today's culture is different. See, we live differently. We have different expectations today. And it said if you're in a loving, committed relationship, it's okay. Do whatever you want. Oh my. That's Absalom along the way.
Yeah.
That's the devil along the way. Because in your mind, and you're thinking, oh, we could save money. That would be great. That'd be wonderful. Oh, we love each other. We're not married yet, but we'll just go ahead and sleep together. It's all right. We're loving and committed, right? No. Bible mentions fornication.
Yeah.
It's a sin. It was a sin then. It's a sin now. It'll always be a sin.
Amen.
The only one who can forgive sins is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, He doesn't want you to do it. Because you know what the trap of this world is? They'll say it's a loving, committed relationship. And then once the girl gets pregnant, then where's the love and where's the commitment? They're gone and you're stuck, right?
Yeah.
That's what the devil, he loves that. He's like, look where you're at now. Now you've failed God. Now you've gone against God. The same devil that was encouraging you to do it will now make you feel bad for doing it. Because he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he hates you.
Yeah, exactly.
He hates God. And if you're one of God's children, that means he hates you. He wants to destroy you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anything good for you. And he will lie, and he'll tell you what you want to hear, and he'll put people in front of you that call themselves Christians. That author on the website called himself a Christian. Full of junk is what it was.
Amen.
That's Absalom right there. Tell you what you want to hear. I'm telling you what, you know what we need to hear? We need to hear the truth.
Amen.
And it comes from God's Word. And you may not be able to get it in 5 minutes like you can Googling it and scanning a website. But I say get down on your knees.
Amen.
A lot of these decisions you and I are making will last us for a lifetime. It is worth getting on your knees for a couple hours each day and crying out to God and saying, God, I don't know what to do. God, help me out. God, am I on the right track? And I'm here to tell you, you get serious with God. You call out to Him and you truly ask Him and you listen for the answer. He will tell you. May not be what you want to hear, but it'll be what's the best for you.
Yeah.
It'll be the best. So he tells him what he wants to hear. Verse 3, he goes on further. Not only does he tell him what he wants to hear, but he says this in verse 3, there is no man deputed of the king to hear you. What he's saying is, look, the king's in his palace. He's living it up. He doesn't care about his people, right? If he cared about you, he would have a deputy out here to listen to your matter and to give you an answer. King doesn't care. Oh my. You know what else the devil will do? He will convince you that God doesn't care about you. He'll convince you that God doesn't love you anymore. God has abandoned you. God has let you get to this place and He has just forsaken you. I am here to tell you that is a lie.
Yeah.
That is a lie. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares about you when you're on the mountaintop. He cares about you when you're in the valley. He cares about you when the tears are flowing. He cares about you when you're shouting for joy and everywhere in between. I am here to tell you, nobody cares for you like God. And you are just, if your mind is full of those things, you need to remind yourself what God's done for you. Remember what I said. You start thanking God for what you've got. You'll start getting satisfied with your situation. You won't want something else. And the pride will be gone. And you'll say, thank God you're in my life. Thank God you're carrying me through this storm. Thank God you're allowing me to walk another mile. Breathe another breath. You're allowing my heart to beat one more time. And I am here to tell you, even in your lowest valley, even in the darkest trial of your life, we learned in Sunday school, we talked about it, that you will have more blessings after the trial than you were before. You will have a better appreciation for God. Prayer will mean more than it did before, and you'll be closer with God, and you'll say, God, I know you were there before, you'll be there again. And I'm here to tell you, if the devil's trying to convince you today that he doesn't love you, it's a lie. He loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. He died for us. So not only does he say he doesn't care, he goes on further. He says in verse 4 at the end, if I were a judge, is basically what he's saying, I would do him justice. Oh, you know what he's saying now? He's saying, if I were king, you'd get justice. You'd get good things. You get the right thing. Now he's already lied and told them what they want to hear. And then he said, well, if I were king, I'd give you what I just lied about. Right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous, isn't it? I just lied to you. Now if I were king, I'd let the lie go further. This is the other thing the devil does. He'll try to convince you that God's not fair.
Yeah.
Right? God's not fair. He's not giving you the right. He doesn't care about you. Other people have it better off. All these things. God's not being fair to me. And blah, blah, blah. And I am here to tell you, He isn't fair. You know what fair is? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That is fair. I've sinned, you've sinned, we deserve death. That's justice. If we took that to the court and our courts really believed the Bible, they'd give you a death sentence and we'd be sent to hell. I'm glad the verse doesn't end there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It keeps going on and it is saying justice requires death from sin, but mercy gives life.
Amen.
Mercy from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I am glad that you and I don't get justice. We get mercy. Because I am here to tell you that the only one that doesn't like mercy is Satan. Because he knows where he is going. He's trying to even deceive himself. But he knows that word is clear. He's going to end up in the pit one day. He's going to be in hell for eternity. And anyone that follows him will be there right with him. But I'm glad to say here today, I'm not getting what I deserve. I am getting what Jesus bought and paid for. He died for my sins. And he has washed my slate clean. I'm justified. That means just as if I've never sinned. And not only that, he's taken the righteousness, the perfection of Jesus Christ, and he's applied it to my account. And that means when God looks at me, when God looks at you, if you've asked Jesus to save you from your sins, he doesn't see the rotten sinner. He doesn't see the one that's forsaken God. He sees one that's just as if he's never sinned.
Amen.
He sees one that lived just as perfectly as Jesus Christ. And I am here to tell you today, you and I can't live perfectly. Oh, but we can grab onto his coattails and we can say, Jesus, I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to trust in you. I know that your blood is enough. It is sufficient. And I'm here to tell you, there's a God in heaven. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God said, you know what? I'm setting aside justice. And my son's going to come in and offer mercy.
Yeah. Amen.
Goodness.
Praise the Lord.
Devil says, you're not getting what you deserve. The Christian should say, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. I'm here to tell you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
You're going to hell. Bible gives an account. Rich man died. He was buried. He lifted his eyes up in torment. I think the worst part of that story is he remembered everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He remembered it all. Whew. Goodness. Absalom didn't care about the people. He said, you'll get justice for me, but he didn't really care about them. He hid his motives. Remember I said if he should have went into the middle of the town and told the truth, but he didn't. But then in verse 6, it told us what happened after all this. He said, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Devil doesn't care. He doesn't care about you today. But let me ask you, who are you following today? Who are you following? The devil will have an Absalom. He'll have them all over the place waiting for you. Or are you going all the way to the truth today?
Yeah.
The true king. The real word. The real truth. What are you going for today? Are you just going with what you want to hear? Is that what you want? Or do you want justice? Or do you think God's not being fair? Or do you think he doesn't care? He's all up in heaven and he doesn't care what's going on with us? That couldn't be further than the truth.
That's right.
He loves you and I today.
Amen.
He loved you enough to die for you. But not only that, he sent his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, to give us power and strength, to teach us, to bring things to remembrance. All of those things. And there is coming a day when Jesus said, you know who those people are? He calls them his bride. He says, there's a day I'm coming to get my bride.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing them back to where I'm at. And I've already prepared a place while I was gone for them to live with me forever. And as soon as we get there, there's going to be a celebration, a feast in heaven. And I'm glad John saw it and told us what he saw. Wondrous things. With no crying, no death, no tears, no trials, no hurt anymore. Nothing but the Lord and his throne and his people and his praises.
Yeah.
I'm glad today the king cares about you. The king cares. I'm telling you what, if you're only going part way today, trying to get advice from anything but God, you're coming short of the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
The devil's a liar.
Amen.
If God's, if you're in rebellion against God, if you're a Christian rebelling against God, or you're a lost person rebelling against God, he looks at it the same way. He says, it disgusts me.
Yeah.
You do it long enough, he says, I'll fight against you.
Yeah.
Yep. He's fighting against the devil. Praise God. I don't want to be on the wrong side of God.
That's right.
I don't want to be where he has to constantly correct me. Did you like a whipping when you were a kid? What about when your heavenly Father is giving you a whipping?
Yeah.
He'll do it because He loves you. But you know when the whipping stops? When you decide. You're going to quit doing what you want to do and do what God wants for you.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And you're saying, Mike, I'm tired of that message. Well, you know what God's saying? He keeps giving it to us. So it must be God saying, I'm tired of whipping you. You know what I want, church? I want to get as close to Him as possible.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I've tried rebellion a time or two. I didn't like it. You know what? I want to get as close to God as I can.
Yes, amen.
Getting His will. So that way, not saying, there's my one that's, he's off doing what he wants to do. There's the one rebelling. There's the one trying to draw people away from me. I want to be the one where He says, look at my child. Look at him. I love him. I ask you all to stand today. I ask you to stand.